folks, we are back. We're glad you could make it to this show, Rum Runners and Atlas Podcast. All right, it's been about 2 weeks since the last episode. I have a special guest with me this wonderful week, Murdersburger. Say hi.
Hi, everyone.
All right. So glad you're here with me, Tiff, as you're also called, Tiff. Live stream, you can see the room that we made just now. Sorry, that's why we took a little bit. Can you guys see the screen? Oh, come on. There we go. All right. Okay. There we go. That's better. All right, folks. So we are live on Twitch, twitch.tv/DarkaDoesGaming. And we are excited that you are here. Let me just minimize this so I can actually see what I'm doing. All right. So, episode 7, weekly gameplay. We're going to be talking about our gameplay from this week. We're going to be talking about some pirate lore. We're going to be sharing some pirate jokes. And I did an experiment yesterday with explosive barrels. So we're going to be talking about explosives, barrels. We're going to talk about different types of explosives that pirates used back in the day. And a bunch more. So, we have no reviews, sadly. It's been about 2 weeks since I recorded an episode for the show, which I think I'm going to be doing the show every other week instead of every week, especially with this whole, you know, coronavirus going down. And I don't want to get burnt out from Atlas, so I've been kind of taking it easy. Tiff is a witness. I haven't been playing every single day like I used to. Right, Tiff? A little bit. So no reviews, but we're planning on getting the show back up there. We got some exciting news as well with the network. So, gameplay. Good and bad gameplay. Tiff, I know you've been playing every single day. So what's some gameplay that you want to share? Is there any awesome, like, good gameplay, and then something that happened there, like, damn it, wish that didn't happen, type of thing?
Okay. My biggest pet peeve for the last 2 weeks has got to be the fire elementals. I'm sorry, they are too OP. You have no choice but to run from them. Any mount you have will just get obliterated. And their aggro range is huge.
Right.
And they do not stop, and you can't outrun them. That is, like, one of my biggest pet peeves recently. Good. This game is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's so many times where I'm sailing, and the sun is either going down or coming up, or the ghost ship passes me. Like, there's so many instances where I'm like, wow, this game is really pretty. They have a lot of work to do.
Sure
do.
Don't
get me wrong, it's still really broken.
Right.
But those moments where you're just like, wow.
Right.
I love them. They make me happy.
Yeah, they sure do. Let's see. For
and
me.
Then Italian spawns in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
Every time.
All the time. Those damned, I swear. For me, some good gameplay, I guess, would be I completed my first legendary galley, and I named her Bonnie Lass. That, and then also my company, the Highland Empire, we merged with the Black Sails. So, well, just me and Soul, but anyway, it's still good. So now we've always been hanging out with them anyway, with Tiff and the rest of them from Pandora. And it just ended up working out where we just ended up joining them. So now we're a big happy family on Pandora. Yay! Some bad, which wasn't that bad. But, I mean, during this week, I've kind of, like, take a step back and, like, been playing some other things and watching shows on Netflix and trying to, like, try to get back into the normal situation of life and trying to wake up early. I'm doing this thing right now with some of my family on my mom's side. They're Muslim, and they fast during this time of year. Well, each year it changes. It goes back a month. But I decided that while they're fasting, I'm going to fast alongside them. I mean, I don't have to, but I kind of felt like if I do this, I have to wake up early. So I have to wake up around 4 every morning and eat something. And then from...
Because if you don't, you don't eat.
Right. So if I don't, I don't eat. So from 5, actually my mom told me this today, because when I text her and telling her I'm going to be fasting, was with them as well. She said, you know you can't eat from 5 until 8:30. And I was like, shoot. So right now I got like 3 hours left, but I'm almost there. First day. So I haven't done this in like 10 years, but it's getting me in the mindset that I have to get up early. Because when this whole corona bullshit is over, I'm going to have to go back to work. And I'm going to have to be up at 5 o'clock every single day, Monday through Friday. So getting up at 4 to eat something and go back to sleep, that's going to get me in the habit of actually waking up. So I'm doing this right now, and it's, I guess, helping with my like self-control and stuff. Today it hasn't been as bad when it came to eating, but I don't know. I think I got off track. I think I was talking about bad gameplay. Oh, yeah. So I'm sailing one of my ships called the Can't Touch This. Okay, so this boat is a common galley. Okay, it's got nothing on it. And this damn boat won't freaking die. Alright? This thing is, we're sailing it through and like red dam come out of nowhere. Like I had like a galley, galley of the damned comes after this boat, right? And it's shooting at me. It's popping planks left and right. It's destroying the deck on the ship, and it's destroying everything. All my cannons, NPCs are dying, NPCs are being thrown off the boat. It's just a mess. The bad thing is, the ship got pretty much, didn't get destroyed, but it got wrecked. But by the time we were finished with the Red Galley, because we ended up destroying it anyway, this boat is still standing. This thing is still standing. Why won't it die? But yesterday, for a experiment, I loaded this thing up with 26 explosive barrels, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna make this thing explode. Hopefully, right? I sail it over to the Golden Company's base, and shout out to the Golden Company. sailed it over there, and I'm thinking they did have a bad day, but you know, it was coming eventually. So
we'll get to their night later.
Yeah. So I'm taking the boat over there, and I try to like blow up, because I had like 26 of these barrels everywhere on my boat. So I'm thinking, okay, if I end up putting these things down, I can detonate one, and then it will detonate the rest of them on the ship, and then it'll blow up my ship and their ship. Well, I go to detonate, and the explosive barrel disappears. I'm like, what the hell? I go and I try another one. It disappears, and it's repetitive. So I take it, and I run it over to the other ship, and I put it down, and then I try to detonate it. Nothing. It just disappears. So, it doesn't work. Unless you get someone to carry a explosive barrel and try shooting it or something and make it explode. I don't know. If someone wants to test this, I would love to see what happens. So people out there that are listening to the show, test this.
Science it
for us, please. We want to know. So yes, I guess that was bad gameplay. I mean, not really, because nothing really happened. But yeah. Kind of feeling kind of burnt out from Atlas, but that's probably why I'm kind of doing this every 2 weeks or every other week and not playing every single day, but just relaxing and enjoying it. Because I felt like when I was part of Highland Empire, it was just Sol and I. Like, I mean, yeah, there's other people in the company, but we were the only ones doing everything, so I kind of felt burnt out. But I think after maybe like a week, maybe I'll just, you know, I'll slowly get back into it. Had some excitement yesterday, so sweet.
I understand that, because like the Black Sails, you know, are huge. We have a lot of people.
Right.
But as far as Pandora goes, lately it's felt like it's just been me and Jake doing stuff. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we've gotten really burned out because we can't even go leave and do Power Stones or the Kraken. We can't leave the base because if we do, everything's going to go to shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand the feeling burned out thing. I feel like everyone needs to work together. And now that you're here on Pandora, I feel like it's going to be a lot easier because you guys will have help and me and Jake will also have some help as well.
Right.
And it's not going to be so much. I don't feel like...
Right.
It started to feel like a job at a certain point. Like, you have to show up every day and take care of stuff or you're going to lose it.
Right. Yep. So, yeah. So, basically, we tried the explosive barrels. That didn't work. So, yeah. So, we got some pirate lore for you guys. I found this website called brotherincoast.com. It's really cool. They got a bunch of different articles and stuff like that. So, I actually found an article about Captain Benjamin Hornigold. So, basically, his early life was unrecorded, although he sometimes is claimed to have been born in England. Let me maximize this. Let's see. Although he sometimes claimed to be born in the English country of Norfolk, where the surname Hornigold or Hornigold appears. The first accounts of Hornigold place him in the winter of 1713 to 1714, when he employed the Pernigas sailing canoes and a sloop to menace merchant vessels off the coast of New Providence and its capital, Nassau, where he established as privateers or pirate republic. Like many others, he served on a privateer during the war and turned to piracy later after the war had ended. By the early of 1717, Hornigold had his command a heavy armed sloop of war he named the Ranger. Hornigold's second in command during this time was Edward Teach, as y'all will know him as Blackbeard later on. Teach, apparently an apt pupil, was given command of a French sloop taken off St. Vincent in the West Indies. In March 1717, Hornigold attacked the armed vessel sent to the Bahamas by the governor of South Carolina to hunt for pirates. The merchantmen escaped by running off of Cat Cay, and its captain later reported that Hornigold's fleet had increased to 5 vessels with the command of crew around 350 pirates. Hornigold is recorded to have attacked a sloop off of the west of Honduras as one of the passengers had captured of the captured vessel recounted. They did to us no further inquiry than the taking most of our hats from us, having not drunk the night before, as they told us, and tossed theirs overboard. So Hornigold really liked hats. That was something that I talked about when we talked about Blackbeard. They really liked hats. I think the only thing they really stole was hats. It's pretty funny. I like hats. Do you like hats, Tiff?
I do. So does Commander Fuzzy Pants.
Commander Fuzzy Pants. Cheers to you, Commander Fuzzy Pants. If you look on stream, we have a cat on our table. Is that Commander Fuzzy Pants? That is Commander Fuzzy
Pants.
That
is Commander Fuzzy Pants. Awesome. He likes his hat.
Caramel likes his hat, too. So, yeah, that's a brief story about Benjamin Hornigold. There is more to his story. If you want to look at it, I will post the link on the show notes. Do you like jokes, Tiff?
I love jokes. I love the funny, just stupid jokes.
Yeah? Woo! Do you have a joke for me? Because I got a joke for you.
I don't know. My best pirate joke I told you earlier.
Well, that was before the show started. And the listeners haven't heard it. So, why don't you tell it again?
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
I don't know. What's a pirate... Ooh, R.
That was stupid.
I know. All right. So a pirate ship has been on a long voyage, and the men have grown terribly bored. One of the crew happens to know a bunch of magic tricks and begins a magic show. His parrot, however, is quite gossipy and can't keep its mouth shut. The pirate begins his first trick, and the parrot gives it away by saying, "Rawr!" The coin is in the other hand. Rock! Frustrated, the pirate tries another trick, But again, the pirate gives it away by blurting out, "Rark! Look underneath the table, Rark!" This goes on for some time to a point where the pirate can't manage to perform anything spectacular to entertain the weary crew. His anger towards him, towards his blabbermouth parrot, eventually grows phenomenal that one night he gets very drunk and accidentally crashes his ship into some rocks. Sobering up the next morning, he finds himself adrift in some wreckage. The parrot, ever the attentive sidekick, happens to land next to him, look quite puzzled, and the parrot says to him, "Rark, okay, I give up. What did you do to the boat, Rark?" That's funny. All right. Ooh, I don't know.
Because they'll just wash up on shore later.
Oh my gosh. All right. So, I have a story to tell you. It has nothing to do with pirates, but you have to hear this. All the listeners, you need to hear this. All right. So, a friend of mine named Brad is telling me the story about a train conductor, okay? And so this train conductor, Yes, we're doing this. So a train conductor lives in like Romania, one of those like Eastern European countries. Eastern European countries. This boy, don't remember his name clearly, because Brad for some reason forgot his name. But this guy from Romania, he ends up, you know, he wants to become a train conductor. So while he's going to school to be a train conductor, you know, he passes his classes and, you know, he gets his certificate, he gets his license to pilot a train, you know? So he's got his first job and he's on his first track and he's going and goes around this curve too fast and he ends up slipping and his train ends up going off and, you know, one of the carts falls off and it kills one person. Well, over there in that side of the world, death for death. So he ends up, you know, going to jail and death penalty, right? So he's sitting in the electric chair because that's the most humane thing they got over there for some reason. So he's sitting there in the electric chair and the executioner says to him, "So what would you like for your last meal?" And so the train conductor says, "I want one banana." So the guy says, "Okay, that's kind of odd, but okay, here's a banana." So he gives him a banana, he eats it, and then it's time for execution. And he goes and he pulls it, and, you know, zap and shock and, you know, smoke everywhere, and his body's shaking. And he's not dead. So, you know, over there on that side of the world, you know, they're really religious, and they're like, "Okay, well, he's not dead, so that must be an act of God, so we're going to let you go." So he lets him go. Some time goes by, like about a week or, you know, a couple weeks go by, and then he, for some odd reason, gets his job back. And so he's driving, and he's driving the track again, and he's going, and, you know, he's now learning from his mistake, and he goes off the track too fast. As soon as he goes around the track too fast, he slips again, you know, and the cart falls over, and, you know, he kills two people this time. So, you know how it is over there. So he ends up going back to jail, and then he ends up back in the electric chair again. And the executioner says, "Ah, it's you again." And so he says, "Well, you're here again. You're going to die. What do you want for your last meal?" And the train conductor says, "I want two bananas." And then the executioner looks at him and is like, "Yeah, it's kind of odd, but here's two bananas." So he gives him two bananas. He eats them and then, you know, pulls down the lever and shock and all the smoke and all that shit, and he's not dead for some reason. So the executioner is like, "Well, act of God, super weird, but okay, I'll let you go." So, you know, he lets him go. And so a couple months go by and he gets another job as a train conductor, but for a different company. And so he's driving one day, and as he's driving the train this time, he's going around a corner, he sees another train, and he swerves too fast, and the the train falls over and one of the carts falls over and it kills three people. So he goes back to jail, ends up the electric chair again. The executioner is like, "You're here again. What would you like for your last meal?" And the train conductor says to him, "I want..." And the guy stops him and says, you're going to ask for three bananas. "No, I'm not giving you any more bananas. We're just going to kill you." So he pulls the lever, shock and shake and everything and smoke everywhere. And he's not dead. So the train conductor is sitting there and the executioner pulls up the lever and says, "Okay, what gives? Why won't you die? What's with the bananas?" And the train conductor says, "What? I'm just a bad conductor."
Oh
my gosh. But yeah.
The best way.
Yes. Got you all. Aha. But yeah. That was my joke that had nothing to do with pirates. Alright, so we're gonna talk about different. So, as I was saying before about my experiment that didn't work, they had explosive barrels. They had round shots, were, you know, standard iron cannonballs that they used. They used bar and cannon shots, which normally they used, which they had chains between the two of them, and you could take out the mast and stuff like that. They had bundle shot, which has several different type of iron bars bundled together with a length of rope, and they toss those in there. Grape shot and canister shots were small iron balls about 3/4 inch in diameter, were packed in bags and used as grape shot. So they had a bunch of those. Explosive shells and hot iron shot. These two specifically came into the use of the height of the Great Age of Sail. Explosive hollow cannonball fitted with a crude fuse was lit before it was fired. The intent of the shell was to explode when it reached the enemy ship. Timely was critically important to the effective. Also, not enough time to blow up into the person's face. The high iron shot was heated into a red hot condition before it was fired. The purpose of using the shot was to set the victim's ship on fire. This type of round could be extremely dangerous to a gun crew, as the heat of the shot inside the cannon would cause the gunpowder to ignite prematurely. They would have coined the phrase, "Don't try this at home," with these rounds. You know, they had different types of guns. They had the swivel cannons, like in Atlas. We have the swivels that you have on your ships or in different spots of your defenses. Those type of cannons as well. So, So a couple episodes ago, I talked about different type of weapons. So we were just covering the rest of the cannons and cannon shots. So they had also had grenades too, that they used little hand grenades.
Grenades, but they were grenades.
Yes, very much. So. Alright, so Bob help time, folks. Alright, so we talked about, you know, sailing a ship. Normally when you start the game, we please, we ask you do not sail a brig or a freaking galley. some people I know out there tend to drive a galley right away, which I've talked about this on the show already. But we're going to talk about what you need on your ship. Don't get caught without these. So, Tiff, when you build a ship, what is some things you must have on your ship and why?
So, I always have what I call an oh shit box. They're placed either strategically or completely random around the ship. It's a storage box with everything you need when you go, "Oh shit, mm-hmm. I'm about to get messed up." Hammers, buckets, mm-hmm. spare planks, mm-hmm. and a spare steering wheel.
Right.
If you really feel like your ship can't hold up, I would carry a spare sail
mm-hmm.
and a deck as well.
Right.
Because if your steering wheel goes bye-bye, your control goes bye-bye. Pretty much. I always carry a spare.
Mm-hmm.
Also, my personal favorite, bring a spear gun. The sharks are jerks. If you kill a high-level galleon or a brig or whatever it will be, you're going to want to get your loot. If you don't have a grappling hook, which rule number one of Atlas, always have a grappling hook.
Always.
But if you don't, and you have to hop in the water, take a spear gun, because sharks are everywhere. Everywhere.
Some really good advice. I was going to say, everything you basically said, you know, make sure you have your extra planks, your deck, steering wheel. Definitely carry an extra sail or two on your boat. Shit, if my boat had extra sails when I got hit the other day while saying the can't touch this, I would have been able to put down another sail and get the fuck out of there. But I didn't. But
Been there. We had a galleon destroy all of our cannons, our sails, our steering wheel. And I found a cannon in a box, a spare cannon, put it on the back, and was shooting this galleon, and Jake was throwing grenades at it.
True.
And we finally killed it. And we had nothing on the boat. Thank God we had a smithy of materials, but it was bad.
Yeah. Definitely have extra supplies on your boat. Don't super weigh it down. I freaking hate it when people carry, like, different type of crafting benches on your boat. And like the forge and the loom and the tannery and all this random stuff on your boat. Like, I can understand it.
I have seen that bothers me is people carry way too much gold on their ships. Your ship spends most of its time docked at your island anyway.
Right.
It's going to get gold from the silo. You do not need to carry 10,000, 5,000, even 3,000 gold on your ship.
Right.
1,000 gold is more than enough for every trip. If it gets under 500, put some more in there. But it's unnecessary to carry that much gold. It weighs your ship down. And then if you do lose your ship, you're out 10,000 gold versus, what, 800?
Right. Speaking of ships, and going back to, I think it was last episode, I talked about when new people, start the game. I say, build yourself a sloop, get a schooner, learn how to drive the ship, learn how to pilot it, learn how to, you know, to manage your ship. Don't go and build yourself a freaking galley or a freaking brig right away, because you're not going to know how to take care of it. It's going to sink. And there's people out there that I know that have freaking galley day one. And I'm surprised that the person didn't get it sunk the first day. But I had one person from the Hive community reach out to me this past week and ask me to pilot their ship for them because they've never sailed a galley before. I'm like, first of all, why do you even have a galley? Like, do you even know how to pilot a schooner? Like, I can understand.
The galleons are hard to pilot.
They are.
Caught in a fight in a galleon, you are most likely gonna fight. You need to know how to do that.
Right. True. I have a galley. It's a war galley, but do I know how to use it in war? No, I don't. It's sitting in our port right now. Will I learn? Hell yeah, I'll learn. But that's why I have it, so that I can learn. But if you don't know how, have someone teach you, but don't go build yourself something that, you know, something that you can't handle. Like, I wasn't gonna say the name, but Squishy, I get it with you guys. When before we joined you guys, he wanted to build a galley. You let him build the galley, but it was out of, he's got to grind the materials. I get that. But if it was me, if I was the one that was going to be like, hey, you're going to build yourself a schooner and you're going to learn. There's people out there like Tiff that will teach you, like me. I will teach you. But like this person I'm also talking about that wanted me to come sail his galley. He's been playing this game for how long? You know who I'm talking about. It's at least a month, you know. You should be able to, at least sail a ship. Like, I understand the galley is not that, is kind of hard, but start small and work up. Don't have to go big, you know, right away. But enough of my rant. That's, I can get really heated when it comes to noob sailing ships that they can't handle. Like, I don't know, this must be my official mindset, because I came from official, so, but that's pretty much it for Bob Help. Is there anything else you can think of?
So, if you're gonna be PvP, we always love PvP tribes, that means more fun, mm-hmm. and, you know, more ship battles, more raids, whatever. But if you're new to PvP and you see, I'm not naming any names, but if you're new to PvP and you see a ship belonging to the Alpha Tribe mm-hmm. sailing through a grid, especially if it's a war galleon, do not turn towards it. Mm-hmm. Don't alter course. Most likely we're doing something more important and we're not coming after you, but when you turn towards a galleon on open waters, they're going to take that as an aggressive stance and they will sink you.
Mm-hmm.
We can be friends in PvE, but if we're in the threes, you need to keep clear.
Right.
That just really bothered me, because a new tribe, I like to see people build up before we attack them. It's no fun attacking a new tribe because they don't have anything.
Right.
It's overkill. I want to see them build up, but if you turn towards me and I'm escorting a ship with cargo, my ship is on attack and I'm not responsible for what happens to it.
Mm-hmm.
Just really bothered me because they had such a bad day yesterday. I didn't want to sink another ship.
I mean, if you want to get into that, we can get into that, because our community was into that yesterday all day. I have my opinions. Right.
They had such a bad day. Jaywalk, shout out to Jaywalk.
Great guy.
PvE, he likes ship battles, which is fine.
Yeah.
But he ran into a group of the Golden Company, as we talked about before.
Right.
And they shot at him. And whether it was an auto attack or aimed, that's besides the point. They were close enough to aggro.
Right.
Jaywalk sank how many boats?
Like two three? Or three others, yeah.
Yeah, two or three other boats. And that was yesterday morning. And then yesterday afternoon, Durga sailed into their bay with Can't Touch This, with the explosive barrels, and couldn't blow up the barrels to ram their ship. And then not even 3 hours later, they run into me and turn at me, and we went through the server wall side by side. I'm on Xbox, so I froze when I went through the server wall.
Right.
It unfroze, and half his boat was gone.
Yep.
And he was going back through the server wall the other way. I felt so bad. I was like they just had a really bad day.
Yep. Feel bad for them, but I kind of don't. But, oh well. They'll learn.
Gotta learn
somehow. Right.
They'll build up. They've been playing for
a good amount of time.
Had, how many was 6 or 10 people for them?
They got quite a bit. I can look.
I can't remember if they were the 6 or the 10 that joined E3, but either way, you have enough people, you've been here long enough, you mm-hmm. shouldn't be driving all common ships.
Right.
You've gotta branch out and get some blueprints and go on a cargo run and get some better ships, because common is not gonna stand up to what the rest of PvP has.
Right.
Or even PvE, as we saw with Jaywalk. Like, you need to build up. I know you're still new and you're learning the ropes and everything, but the most important thing I can tell you guys is just get better stuff.
Yep. They've
even
been
if it's just a few planks at a time. Upgrade your boats.
They got nine people, and they've been playing for 2 weeks on our server.
Get some treasure maps, kill some sods, go out in a big group if you have to, find a high-level galley, get some blueprints, and build a cargo galleon. Go around the grids, get your material, just upgrade.
Right.
Like I said, even if it's a few planks at a time.
Yep. So, yeah. We feel bad.
My 8 butt cannons destroyed 6 of their planks.
That's something. Your butt cannon stood up. That's super terrible.
I didn't mean to. Why would you do that?
Yeah. So, yeah, Bob Help, that's pretty much it. Every week, or not every week, I'm going to do this every other week now, but every other week, we'll be giving you some tips and tricks. Alright, since last episode, the network that I'm a part of, the CommuniCast network with Eric and I, who do Nintendo Podcast, we have not fully dropped our network, but we have joined the Hive's podcast team. So now whenever you listen to an episode, you're going to hear CommuniCast and the Hive podcast team presents instead of CommuniCast presents. So we're partnered with the Hive fully. So that's pretty great. So that's the only news really that we have. Right now it's just going to be Nintendo, Atlas Podcast, and the Elder Scrolls podcast that Eric is doing. So we got those three, and then any other shows that the Hive comes together and brings. So I'm going to be talking to Colin and seeing what we got going on for that. I think he's got some things up his sleeves. So I'm excited. I'm going to be upgrading a couple things here with my setup. I'm excited for it. I would like to shout out to the Hive server. We have an awesome server. There's mainly PvE grids. There's only 5 PvP grids, which hopefully we'll get more in the near future. But if you want more info on that, I can link the Hive's Discord in the show notes as well. For those who are listening from the Hive, we have a server announcement from the pump. He's one of the tech guys, and he's one of the server captains. So basically this is an announcement that he made about almost 2 hours ago, saying, "Hey there, once more all. Unfortunately, E2 is still having some issues where it's instantly dashboard when you're entering the server. While this being said, there are different attempts looking to sort it, but we have no luck with it. In order with this issue to go away properly, we'll be doing a 2 to 3 day rollback to properly get the server data in which this is not happening. Which being said, the server we'll roll back at 4 a.m. Eastern Time tonight. So tonight at 4 a.m. Eastern Time, it will be going through a rollback. If there's anything you may have gotten that was important within the 2 to 3 days, please temporarily take it to another grid where the server doesn't roll back. No progression on your half is lost. Admins will be not replacing anything as warning is here to move whatever may have been obtained in that time. Now, just to touch base, everything is fine. Just an issue upon entering a bugging in where it needs to be fixed. Anything else is smooth sailing out there. Thanks to everybody." And then he said, "I know this tag has been used a lot today, but I would like to confirm with everyone to make sure nothing of value is lost."
We can't stress that enough, that they put the warning, mm-hmm. if you leave anything in E2, it will not be replaced.
Right.
Get.
Yep. So make sure you get your shit out of E2 before it goes down and goes through rollback. So. All right. Basically, call to action. Remember, guys, the show is the only show on Atlas. So if you have friends, if you have family, if you have people that you like or dislike that likes Atlas, link them the show, have them listen to it, have them share it. Let's get some reviews out there and let's get this show going again. I am apologizing probably for the 300th time for not being on top of things. Tiff here can keep me on track. Right, Tiff? All right, so just to make sure everybody knows, every other week, not every week now, we're going to be releasing episodes. Make it less stressful, especially with the lack of content that Atlas currently has. We had a patch notes about 2 weeks ago, and nothing since. So hopefully soon the developers will, you know, get their heads out of their behinds and get back to Atlas and actually finish the game. That would be amazing.
I hope so. If not, we're gonna have to go make our own fun.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we'll go play some Thieves, Sea of Thieves or something. I don't know. But, yep, that's pretty much it for today. Is there anything else that you would like to add, Tiff, before we go?
No, not this time.
Okay. Cool.
I think we covered it. I
think we did. All right, folks. Thank you for watching, for listening, for tuning in or tuning out. We will see you guys in 2 weeks. See you later.